Chapter 10. Happy to be alive. Marilla returned home from town one evening.
Did you see the eye doctor? What did he say? Asked Anne anxiously.
Yes, I saw him. He says that if I give up all reading and sewing entirely, any kind of work that strains the eyes, and if I wear the glasses he's given me, he thinks my eyes may not get any worse and my headaches will be cured. But if I don't, he says I'll certainly be blind in 6 months. Blind! Anne, just think of it!
For a minute, Anne was quiet. Then she said bravely,
Marilla, don't think of it. You know he has given you hope, and if you are careful, you won't lose your sight altogether. If his glasses cure your headaches, it will be a great thing.
I don't call it much hope, said Marilla bitterly. What am I to live for if I can't read or sew or do anything like that? I might as well be blind or dead. But there, it's no good talking about it.
Anne went to her room while Marilla was resting. She sat down by her window in the dark and cried. How sadly things had changed since she had sat there the night after coming home. Then she had been full of hope and joy, and the future had looked bright. Anne felt as though she had lived years since then. As she sat, her wild feelings slowly dissolved, and before she went to sleep, there was a smile on her lips and peace in her heart. She had looked her sorrow bravely in the face and found in it a friend. Her peace was short-lived, however, as a few days later there was another mountain to climb. One of the wealthier men in Avonlea heard about Marilla's troubles and offered to buy Green Gables. Given the loss of her brother and her failing eyes, Marilla was tempted. Anne, however, was shocked that Marilla would even consider it and resolved to find a way to keep their home, the only real home she had ever known.
You mustn't sell Green Gables, said Anne with conviction.
Oh, Anne, I wish I didn't have to, but I can't stay here alone. I'd go crazy with loneliness. And my sight would go completely, I know it would.
You won't have to stay here alone, Marilla. I'll be with you. I'm not going to Redmond.
Not going to Redmond? Marilla lifted her worn face from her hands and stared at Anne.
Why, what do you mean?
Just what I said. I'm not going to take the scholarship. You don't think I could leave you alone in your trouble, Marilla, after all that you've done for me? Let me tell you my plans. I heard that Mr. Barry wants to rent the farm for next year, so you won't have any bother over that. And I'm going to teach. I've already applied for the school here. I don't expect to get it, for I understand the trustees have promised it to Gilbert Blythe. But I can have the Carmody School. Mr. Blair told me so last night. Even in winter, I can come home on Fridays. We'll keep a horse for that. Oh, I have it all planned out, Marilla. I'll read to you and keep you cheered up.
We'll be happy here together, you and I.
Marilla was amazed. Oh, Anne, I could get on so well if you were here, I know. But I can't let you sacrifice yourself for me.
Nonsense, Anne laughed merrily. There is no sacrifice. Nothing could be worse than giving up Green Gables. Nothing could hurt me more.
I'm not going to Redmond. I am going to stay here and teach, and don't you worry about me a bit.
You wonderful girl, said Marilla.
I feel as if you've given me new life. I'll make it up to you, though, Anne. I promise.
It seemed that others were also conspiring to help Anne and Marilla out. Mrs. Rachel came over to Green Gables to pass on the good news that the trustees decided to let Anne teach at Avonlea School. Gilbert Blythe had withdrawn his application for Avonlea School after hearing about Anne's troubles and told the trustees to let her teach there instead. He would teach at White Sands, where he would pay rent. This was no small gesture, considering that Gilbert was trying to save and pay his own way through college. Anne was beyond grateful upon hearing this incredible news. She was determined to thank Gilbert personally, but she wasn't sure how to go about it. After all, they weren't even on speaking terms, thanks to her decision long ago. She needn't have worried, though, as fate intervened to help her. Anne went to the little Avonlea graveyard the next evening to put fresh flowers on Matthew's grave. She sat at the foot of his grave and chatted to him in the way she used to, updating him on all the things that had happened since he had passed away. She stayed there until the sun set, enjoying the peace and quiet and feeling Matthew's calm presence. When she finally left and walked down the long hill that led to Green Gables, she was met with a most wonderful sight. Avonlea lay before her like a dream, and the beauty of it all made Anne's heart swell with joy. "Dear old world," she murmured, "you are very lovely, and I am glad to be alive in you. I feel grateful for not only my joys, but my sorrows, too." Halfway down the hill, a tall lad came out of a gate before the Blythe farm whistling. It was Gilbert, and he lifted his cap politely, but he stopped whistling when he recognized Anne. He would have passed on in silence if Anne had not stopped and held out her hand. "Gilbert," she said with burning cheeks, "I want to thank you for giving up the school for me. It was very good of you, and I want you to know that I appreciate it." Gilbert took the offered hand and his stony face relaxed. "I was pleased to be able to do you some small service, Anne. Are we going to be friends after this? Have you really forgiven me?" Anne laughed and tried unsuccessfully to withdraw her hand. "I forgave you that day at the pond, although I didn't know it. How foolish I was, and I've been sorry ever since." "We are going to be good friends, you and I," said Gilbert happily. "I know we can help each other in many ways. You are going to keep up your studies too, aren't you? We can still be rivals. Come, I'm going to walk you home." Marilla looked curiously at Anne when she entered the kitchen. "Who was that who came up the lane with you, Anne?"
"Gilbert Blythe," answered Anne, her cheeks turning pink. "I met him on Barry's Hill."
"I didn't think you and Gilbert Blythe were such good friends that you'd stand for half an hour at the gate talking to him," said Marilla with a dry smile.
"We have decided that it will be much more sensible to be good friends rather than enemies in the future. Were we really there half an hour? It seemed just a few minutes, but you see, we have years of lost conversations to catch up on, Marilla."
Anne sat long at her window that night, staring at the twinkling stars and feeling content. Her horizons had closed in since the night she had sat there after coming home from Queens. But if the path set before her feet was to be narrow, she knew that flowers of quiet happiness would bloom along it. The joys of meaningful work and dear friendship were to be hers. She still had her ideal world of dreams, and there was always the bend in the road.